It was early.
Yeah.
And they wanted to come out like a fucking NWA record and say, okay, all these Fresh Prince tapes,
right,
put them away. You're not listening to this anymore. There's new shit out there and it's from the fucking street.
Need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
Now that you're a dead piece of shit on the fucking beach. Hoss! What's in 3 weeks?
3 weeks from the day that we're recording this is September 9th. Never forget.
Yes. September 9th. Never forget. 9999 is the release date of the Dreamcast. So you know what that means. It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast! And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be covering some Dreamcast games in celebration of that...
In stunning SD.
In stunning standard definition.
The look and sound of somewhat acceptable.
The look and sound of stuff that looked pretty okay back then. We're going to be covering some games from the Dreamcast for the next 3 weeks. Sorry we've been off for a week. No problem, though. Schedules get hectic, all that jazz. You don't want to hear about all that garbage. But we are back.
We posted plenty of video footage over the course of the last couple of weeks. Go watch our videos of the Rare Replay. I recommend the RC Pro-Am, where we talk about Lenny Kravitz's penis for a while.
Long time we're talking.
I also recommend the Jet Force Gemini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recommend that one as well.
I thought that was pretty alright.
It's pretty terrible, too.
I thought the intro video that you made was pretty good, where you kind of spliced some footage over
with me
murdering that Perfect Dark guy for a while. That was alright.
Well, there you go. Go check out our videos. We're going to be back regular time every week. This one's coming out a little late. It's fine. It's fine. Don't judge us, okay? We're good here. So
hectic schedules us.
Hectic schedules, but we still get it done. We still get it done, Hoss. Because that's what we do. We're doers. We get things done. We get them done fast, just like Sonic. That's right. Sonic Adventure is what we played today. And also, the demo for Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah, a little... Gotta add a little teaser in there.
Yeah,
that's like the stinger after the credits.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Oh, you're never gonna guess what happens after the credits.
But it do.
Michelle Rodriguez wasn't dead, you guys. She just got amnesia.
Oh my god, it's amazing. Okay.
It's a Fast and Furious.
For some reason, I had Lost in my head. I'm like, no, she died in Lost. Oh no, wait.
Oh, that was a Fast and Furious reference.
Yep, sure was. So. We played Sonic Adventure. I did, anyway. And, you know, we're going to talk about that later. But for right now, did we look up any news before this thing?
We didn't
look up any news.
The Gears of War Ultimate Edition came out this week. Like, you know, as far as new release stuff goes, this week is where it really starts popping off.
Mm-hmm.
Gears Ultimate Edition came out. Until Dawn came out for the PS4 survival horror game that's... It's kind of like it's like a bit of Heavy Rain.
Right.
Where you play through the game as like many survivors.
Yeah,
and if you pick up items, it affects the options that you'll have later, and things may not be there for other guys. And the game's getting like... The reviews are all over the board.
Mm.
And largely from what I've heard from most people is that if you're into horror games, if you're into survival horror games, this is for you.
Yeah.
This is one of those.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely interested to get my hands on that. I'll probably stream some of that this weekend. The Gears Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
Reviews for that are...
Yeah, they're in the toilet, aren't they?
Well, the Giant Bomb review was really low. Mm-hmm. Most sites are kind of floating around, you know, 7 to 8-ish, with some higher ones up there. You know, Metacritic scores are always so tricky because so many of those sites are European, and half the time I don't even know if they played the same game as I did. Mm. Like, European reviews are historically way higher than American reviews. But yeah, like, I think GameSpot gave it like an 8-ish. But yeah, so that game looks like got some issues with the fact that, like, in single player it only runs at 30 frames. In multiplayer it runs at 60. And I'm sorry, like, to me it feels like a 9-year-old game on a brand new platform should probably run at 60.
Right.
And I've heard that, like, even with it running at 30, it's still got lots of lighting issues. It's still got lots of scripting issues. It's still got a lot of the stuff that was always wrong-ish or quirky about the original Gears is still there.
Right.
But, you know, it sounds like, you know, if you want that multiplayer suite, if you're a Gears of War multiplayer guy, that they did a really admirable job bringing that to new consoles. You know, one of the complaints that I've heard is that they didn't go back and add, like, a horde mode to that game, because Gears of War 2, when they introduced horde, I mean, that fundamentally changed online multiplayer.
Right, yeah.
I mean, almost every game has its version of a horde mode now. Mm-hmm. Well, they did for a really long time, and now only the ones that are really good at it still bother.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for a few years there, it was like, every game, it's like, you know, Bioshock, can we put a fucking horde mode in this or something? No, they didn't
do that.
Saints Row the Third had a mode called Horde, but it was Horde.
Right.
Where you were just killing hookers.
Okay, that makes sense.
That
makes sense.
Arguably not their best joke.
It's fair game for their type of humor.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, it still ends up with you with a dildo baseball bat.
That's true.
You know, beating people up.
That's true.
But yeah, so they didn't go back and retroactively make one or crib like the Gears 2 or Gears 3 Horde and somehow make it work or something. Because I think a Horde mode on Gears of War 1 maps could have been really good. There's quite a few multiplayer maps for that game that that were really, really good, especially with some of the multiplayer map packs they made for the original Gears.
Right.
The one where there's a level where there's a downed, I think they called them pelicans, like whatever their helicopters were, right in the middle of a stage. And it's very cool. That would have been super fun in a Horde mode. But, you know, at a certain point, this is the same team. This is Epic proper that made this version of this game.
Right.
And they are hard at work on Gears 4.
Okay.
So you kind of can't blame them for saying, like, why didn't you throw a bunch of stuff into this cheap game? You know? And if you are a Horde mode guy, you know, for buying Gears Ultimate Edition, you get digital versions of Gears 1, 2, 3, and Judgment. And 2, 3, and Judgment... no, 2 and 3 have Horde.
Yeah.
Judgment did not, and 1 did not, but all that other stuff is still... All the other Gears of War content ever made comes with that game.
Right, yeah.
So...
Cool.
That's kind of a mixed bag, but, I mean, for $40, you know whether that's for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I will play through that with my buddy, because we play through all the Gears games together, and that's just what we do. And
that's a thing to do.
Yeah, that is what we do. But and then the other big release this week was Madden.
Yeah.
Getting really, really good reviews this year.
Is it?
Arguably the biggest changes they've made to Madden.
Oh, wow.
In a very long time.
That's interesting. I didn't catch up with any news of this. I was actually making jokes with my brother yesterday, like going, oh, they're releasing that same game again in 2016? That's weird, right? Or 2015? Because that's what they do for a stretch of those years. But if it's got a lot of different stuff, I'm down, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is that the third Madden on a console is the good one.
That's a good one.
Like, because the first game is just showing that they can bring it to the new platform.
Sure, yeah.
The second game is where they start throwing graphical polish at it and filling in all the modes that were missing the year before.
Right.
The third one's always great.
Yeah.
Like, Madden 06 for the 360, garbage.
Right.
7, terrible.
Yeah.
8, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
9, even better.
So, in case you were wondering... buy the third one, in case
you're just curious. And everybody that's buying systems should really know this at this point, that, like, you know, if you're looking for something other than, like, a shiny, pretty version mm-hmm. of the game you were already playing,
yeah,
give it a few years for them to shake that out. Right. One of the cool additions that they made gameplay-wise, it's probably one of the biggest additions since the truck stick, when yeah. they made all the running back moves beyond the right stick,
yeah,
is the ability for you to contest a ball in the air.
Oh, interesting.
Because before, especially as a defender or as a receiver,
yeah.
you run your route.
Right.
And then you choose whether you want to try to catch it in stride or jump to get it.
Right.
And that's it.
And that's all. Yeah.
And then just based on placement, it would decide who gets the ball.
Right.
Well, in this one, you've got different button prompts that will show up in the air for you to, you know, to reach out, for you to contest, for if you know that you're not in there, you can actually reach in to disrupt. There's a lot of things that you can actually do in the air.
Oh, wow.
To make the reception period of the game more exciting.
Interesting.
One crazy glitch came out, and of course it's against my fucking beloved New York Jets in the game.
What are the odds, right?
Well, I'm a Jets fan. There's 100% odds it'll be against us. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback who's filling in for Geno Smith since he got his jaw broke by his teammate.
Yeah.
He drops back to pass, goes and throws a ball, and an invisible player intercepts it and runs it back for a six.
So it's just nothing, like a ball just like
lands. There's a logo under him. You can see the ball as he's running.
But he's not there. It's just an invisible man.
Nothing.
The invisible man shows up and cheats in the game.
That motherfucker.
The ghost of, I don't know, give me a dead football player.
Joe Namath. He's Joe still Namath. Alive.
He's still kicking, I think. Joe Namath's leg. Just his leg.
Broadway Joe is just pissed.
Oh, man.
So Madden looks like it's really good this year. So if you're a sports game kind of guy, and the great thing that happens, and I say this every year, Madden is like the fucking dinner bell.
Right.
Madden comes out and everybody goes, oh shit, we can release video games again? We should probably do that.
They're like the start of the charge. They're the first guys that out of the gate.
Well, and before, it used to be you'd get rumblings after NCAA football, which would come out about a month before Madden.
Right, right. Because everybody knows Madden's coming out next.
Well, and there'd be NCAA football, then a couple of smaller releases. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Dead Rising was an in-between NCAA football and Madden release. It'd start, like, you know, you can start those games that you're willing to take a risk on, because you got to think about it this way. Somebody goes into a store, they buy NCAA, they start getting back in the idea of, oh, we can play video games again. That's a thing. The summer's getting over.
Yeah, right.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, there's this other game. Maybe I should pick that up.
Yeah, right.
That's the thought process behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I would assume, anyway. I'm not a marketing guy.
Yeah,
but,
right. Yeah.
But
that's what it feels like.
It's like a shotgun blast when Madden comes out. Everybody goes, fuck it, games!
Throw them out there, quick! Get them out there, Madden's out
there! Hey, Mock, we need to make a box for this!
Madden needs backup! Send them all out!
Madden's all alone out there, we gotta save him!
He's not flying, though.
But yeah, that's like as far as new releases go. You been playing anything this week?
I have been playing stuff this week. I have played a little bit of that new King's Quest from Telltale Games.
How is that? That's good. Not Telltale.
Or is it not Telltale?
That's not Telltale.
Oh, I apologize.
That's made by the new Sierra.
That's the new Sierra, that's right. But it's very done in the style of Telltale.
Yes.
Even art design, art direction-wise, it looks like.
Can you still die in King's Quest?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There's the animated.
So it's not Telltale in execution, it's Telltale in style.
In style, very much so. It's not in execution because you, yeah, you do all the stuff. You're like, you collect the things, put them in your cape, all that stuff. It's really kind of good. I like it. The interesting thing about the graphics, though, all hand-painted. Every texture in that game is hand-painted.
Oh, nice.
It's very, very beautiful to look at. But the plot stemming, this, and it's the other thing that made me think is Telltale, is the fact that it's episodic, like those Back to the Future and Walking Dead type stuff. It's episodic. There's episode one out right now. I have not completed that yet. But it's done in the fact that you are young King Graham being narrated by old King Graham as he tells his granddaughter, which is the daughter of two of the main characters from the other games. And he's played by Christopher Lloyd. So basically, Christopher Lloyd is narrating this whole game.
Old ass Christopher Lloyd.
Which is fantastic. Giving it to you. Right? Which is just fantastic to listen to. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's got the old school, you know, humor and everything, and I thought it was pretty okay. Thought it was a good game. You fight a dragon. You have a little like a little choice at the end, like whether or not you want to kill him or stun him or set him free, basically, about which one you want to do.
And, I know what I'm going to do.
You know? Do you? You gonna? Yeah.
I'm gonna kill him.
You gonna kill that dragon? You gonna slay that dragon? I offered to free him because I'm a nice person, and usually when you're nice in games, it helps you out. Because
that's one thing that has always kind of fucking bothered me.
You've mentioned this before.
Games where they have a moral choice, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You are kind of fucking yourself when you choose evil, but I do it every goddamn time.
I don't know if it will fuck you. All that I know is, or that it will save you at some point. All that I know is it will probably have some impact on how the story is told, which is very interesting.
Did I ever tell you about my original Mass Effect 1 save?
No, you did not.
Where I killed everybody you could possibly kill. So I barely had enough dudes to fill a squad. So Mass Effect is supposed to be like, oh, who am I going to pick to go travel around the galaxy? Me, I'm like, I have to use these people.
I have to use them. That's all I've got.
That's it. And I had this guy who looked like a monkey man with scars all over his face. He was awesome.
I couldn't kill him.
Well, he was my guy.
Oh, he was your guy. Okay, you didn't want to kill him. Okay. But yeah, it's very interesting. Like, just the interactions from certain people will be different depending on what you do. There's one point where you have to get a wheel. And there are three different shops in which there is something you can use a wheel. There's a shield in an armory shop. There's a stale loaf of bread in a bakery shop that's just like a big wheel of bread. Something in a potion shop. I forget what it is. But and depending on which one of those you steal will change the mood of that person you're talking to. However, there's a tip jar in each one of them, and if you put something in the tip jar, they will not be angry. So it's got different little interesting things about it with that. But yeah, I like it. It's got a lot of fantastic voice acting and a cartoonish style, and it looks fantastic, and I can't wait for more. So,
oh, nice.
There we go.
They said what their release schedule is going to be like. Are they going to try to follow the Telltale, like, once every month to 2 months?
But probably, like, once every month to 2 months, they'll toss something out, like,
because that's the thing that always kind of, like, gets me when it comes to those sorts of games. I tend to usually wait until they're all the way out, because A,
right,
once all the episodes are out, you can usually get it on sale.
Right, yeah.
And B, mm-hmm, I tend to be the sort of guy that if I don't digest something at once,
right,
I typically won't.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Do the rest of them,
yeah. I got this one. I likely will get the rest of them. I don't typically buy these games. But this one I was very interested in because I played the old King's Quest games and stuff, and it seemed like something I wanted. So I got it, and I didn't want to wait for it all to come out. So
there you go. I don't blame you. Yeah.
There we go.
Well, that's cool. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much all I got for that one. Everything else is... Yeah, you know, I don't play a lot of games. I don't know what else to tell you. What about you, Hoss? You played anything?
Yeah, I actually played quite a few things. I played some more of The Crew. I'm about done with that game.
The Crew?
That racing game.
Oh, yeah, the racing game.
Okay. I enjoyed my time with that, but Forza's coming out soon. And I tend to be a little bit more simulation-y in my digestion of racing games.
Sure.
I like the way that game gets down. I like the fact that, you know, they're like, yo, we got fucking rally cars, we got street cars, we got all this other shit, and I dig that. I do.
Yeah.
But, like, it's driving models, not quite what I'm looking for, but if you're a guy that, like, you know, if you, like, got off on the idea of Razor Callahan and a story-driven, like, race car game,
sure,
is probably for you.
Yeah.
Like, their story in that game, they're constantly trying to, you know, drip by drip give you this story, you know, where you're gonna avenge your brother's death,
right?
You know, all the while the slime was under the building the whole time. You guys,
yeah, the slime.
It's a Ghostbusters 2 reference.
And it's a Ghostbusters 2.
But yeah, like, I'm pretty much done with that game. I've had a good amount of fun with it. You know, kind of fooled around with some more Rare Replay, but the thing I spent the most time with in the last week was the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Black Ops 3 beta. So yeah, COD Black Ops 3. is the beta came out last week for the PS4. As of this podcast coming out, it will be available for the Xbox One, and I believe PC gets it as well. The old consoles do not.
Okay.
Moving forward,
they are.
So. They're getting the game.
Right.
They announced it late. They're getting the game, but they're not getting the beta. The interesting thing I heard is that that port to the old consoles is not being done by Treyarch. I mean, we're at that point where and they haven't talked a single bit about Black Ops 3, but I think there is a very good possibility that... Do you remember when Call of Duty 2 came out at the launch of the Xbox 360?
Yes.
And the old consoles got Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1, and it was a completely different game?
No, I don't remember that. Interesting.
I think we may be in Big Red 1 territory at this point, where that is a completely different game.
There's going to get something completely different.
That is very possible. I can either confirm that nor deny that, but there is something about that. When you say another developer's wrenching on it, I'm like... And another developer wrenching on an existing game's framework that's built on new tech.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well for Mortal Kombat X. That game's still not out on the old systems. Still.
Still not out, yeah.
At this point, they keep saying, like, it's coming.
We're working on it. I'm sorry.
I don't believe them anymore.
I'm sorry. We're working on it.
Yeah, the experience that I had with that beta was very positive.
Hmm.
I enjoyed Advanced Warfare a lot. We talked about that a lot at the end of the year last year. It was one of my favorite games of last year. Had a real real good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
This game mixes up that formula quite a bit.
Okay.
There were two maps in the beta. There are now classes for characters.
Okay.
It's not like, well, I'm going to make a dude, and then, like, I'm going to level up this assault rifle, and that's it.
Right.
Your characters now have, like, think of it like racial skills or class skills from an MMO or Diablo.
Sure, sure.
You have abilities. One of them, my guy had this thing called Glitch, which was super cool.
Yeah.
Which, you're running down a hallway. Somebody gets the jump on you. This is an ability that charges up. You'll maybe be able to use it like two or three times a match. So it's not happening all the time. But I can hit the glitch button, and it basically rewinds you 5 seconds, but not them.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I'll be like in the previous room or outside That's or something cool. like that. And yeah, it's yeah. very cool. It's a save your ass at the last minute button.
That's awesome.
The downside of that is that I had a few times where I hit glitch and spawned right next to another man who murdered me.
Oh, there he is.
It's like, oh, what the fuck?
He ran into that room 5 seconds ago. Oh, he's back.
But yeah, it was a good experience, man. That game looks great.
Yeah.
They've made a lot of changes from Advanced Warfare. This game cribs a lot of the, like, you can do the double boost to get, like, basically a double jump to get higher.
Right.
Wall running, so it's very Titanfall-y in that way.
Right.
The wall running did feel a lot like Titanfall's wall running, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's still pretty funny that the Call of Duty guys are cribbing a little bit from the Titanfall guys, because they used to be the Call of Duty guys, like the real Call of Duty guys.
It's like this weird, strange loop of a snake eating itself.
Yeah, it's a snake eating a sandwich while eating its own tail. Yeah, it's...
eating a sandwich.
That is not my joke, but I like it. But yeah, I really had a good time with that. The changes that they made to that formula, though, took some of the immediacy out of the instant gameplay. The exo suit that you had in Advanced Warfare, you had the ability to boost forward,
right,
and boost back, and boost to the side,
right,
and basically get yourself, like, if you're in a doorway and somebody starts spraying you, you can get the fuck out of there. That's gone.
Okay.
Their version of the exosuit style stuff is different.
Right.
But I like it. It's good. It's fast. It's fast in the way that you want a Call of Duty to be. The thing I'll say is that the last couple of Call of Duties, Ghosts and Advanced Warfare, I felt like they both struggled to remain at 60. Because they were just stretching that older tech to its wit's end.
Right.
This feels like a lot of new tech on the back end. I could be mistaken, but I feel like the renderer is either tweaked or new.
Right.
The way that it spits out textures, they just feel like a lot higher density.
Right.
Yeah, I was a real big fan of it. I'll definitely be playing Black Ops 3 when it comes out later this year, because if there's one thing that I will remain steadfast, and it's that I don't like Treyarch's multiplayer shooters that much. Well, I haven't in the past.
Yeah.
But they can make a fucking campaign. World at War's campaign, Black Ops, Black Ops 2. I think those campaigns are great. Call of Duty 3 was shit, but they had a year to make that game, so it's not really their fault.
Right.
But I think all the stuff they've made since COD 3 has been really on point.
There you go.
I'm excited to see more out of that game.
Cool.
But awesome. That's what I played this week, sir.
That's what you played? All right, then. That's going to move it on to our topic of the day, which is the game we played today.
Yeah.
Which was a real adventure for all of us.
It was an adventure for Sonic, I'll say that.
It was an adventure for Sonic. It's like, I feel like Sonic's had some hard times.
Do we need to set the scene?
Sure, let's set the scene for this.
All right.
Yeah.
I can do a little bit of the thing here.
Sure. Was this a launch title or was this later?
Yes.
This was a launch title for the Dreamcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Sonic Adventure, it was the first game announced for the Dreamcast. It was announced with the software. It was announced before the system even had a name. Codename Katana.
Katana, yeah.
And it was also a different configuration. The American and the Japanese companies, arms of Sega, were both making hardware at the same time.
Oh.
And there was Katana, which was out of Japan, and Dural, which was the American version of that.
Interesting.
And Dural is what we actually end up playing today.
Okay.
Americans won. That's why the thing has Windows CE in it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. It was almost never used, but that was a lot of the way that they had envisioned it first, of them easily accessing the web.
Right.
With this device.
Right.
For leaderboards, things like that, they used that as kind of a backdoor. This actually began the partnership between Microsoft and Sega that could have potentially saw Dreamcast games playing in an original Xbox.
Right, yeah.
After the Dreamcast exited the industry. Kind of a little interesting tidbit there. Yeah. But, so that's kind of the beginnings there. The first time I saw the game, I believe it was the October 97 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah.
It was a crazy cover. It was like weird neon green swirls and Sonic. And the pictures on the inside were fantastic. The Sonic...
It's no Time Magazine cover.
Oculus
Time Magazine
cover. Yeah, this is definitely not fucking man floating on a beach somewhere. But yeah, it was a big reveal for them. They unveiled it at Tokyo Game Show, and it just blown away people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the launch games, especially for the Japan launch, were terrible.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla Generations, I believe is what that game was called. Terrible.
Yeah.
Granted, every Godzilla game, terrible.
Not good. Never could get into any of them.
They're all so slow and lumbering and boring.
Yeah, any of the fighting games. There's one decent one on the SNES that we never got.
Wait, here. If you're talking about King of the Monsters.
The Famicom that we never, the Super Famicom that we never got.
King of the Monsters is not officially licensed, but that's the closest that I've ever seen to like a monster movie game that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so the system actually ended up coming out in America in September 9/9/99, September 9th of 99,
mm-hmm.
2099. Still not out yet. Just keep looking for it. wait for TGS this year. They're going to give you more details. No. So it came out in 99. I was in high school at this point. I was a sophomore. Picked one up, had to have it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I went out, got myself a Dreamcast. I got myself a copy of Power Stone. I got myself a copy of Sonic Adventure. And I believe it was soon after release with Soul Calibur. I don't believe that was day one.
Right.
But Sonic Adventure was my first experience with this system. And the only way that I can describe my initial impressions were equal part shock and awe. And if I'm not mistaken, I think parts of this game are bad. But let's keep going ahead.
I think maybe this might be bad in some ways. Yeah.
But just keep going.
Yeah, we'll keep going with it. We'll see if it picks up. We'll see if it picks up here. Yeah. It's kind of a tale that Sonic has always had, isn't it? It's like, it starts off with like this really shockingly fast, really fun environment that doesn't pay off with the rest of that game. That first level that we played today on the beach, Not to mention that butt rock. That amazing.
Oh, Sonic.
Amazing butt rock.
The Sega, especially their Sonic games, but the Sega just penchant for butt rock is
they love
strong.
It. They love it. They love it. Love the butt rock. But yeah, that first initial explosion on that, well, first you fight the first boss or whatever, and it's, you know, it's your standard video game affair where you just attack three times when he's not attacking you, and you win, and that's about it. So,
and then, hey, we're hanging out at this resort.
And then they're all set at a resort.
The Tails flies by.
The Tails flies by, and he screams inexplicably with his, strange mouth movements that...
Woo! The mouth moves is in this game.
They don't match anything.
Here's the thing that I will say, just to give you a little bit of understanding. Up until this, mouths in video games did not move at all.
No, no. There was no
So to see them at least try to sync up was something.
Some sort of animation, yeah, but it's...
It's like when I first saw fingers in a video game.
Right, yeah.
And it always happens, like, Resident Evil games, there's always somebody typing at a keyboard, and it's like they're just mitten hands. Like, hands just, how are you typing anything?
Just pounding on a thing. Yeah, it's like Strong Bad with the boxing gloves. Just,
yeah.
Are you typing to Strong Bad?
Time to check the email.
So, yeah, but, yeah, basically, all they do is stretch and pull the mouths, and it's just very bizarre looking.
You remember, like, when you could stretch Mario's nose in Nintendo 64?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks exactly like that at the beginning of Mario 64.
Except they're doing that with his face, like his nose, and not his nose, they're doing it with his mouth!
Sorry, folks, National Dog Day. We got a little interrupted there. It's fine. We're good. What was I talking about?
Yeah, Tails flies by with his weird stretching mouth and goes and crashes on an island.
And goes and crashes on an island, and Sonic's got like five rows of teeth, whatever. So you go on this...
He had shark mouth.
He did. So you go on this beach, and the opening, first of all, on an SD TV, looks beautiful. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Wow.
it looks really nice. You know, for the time that it was, obviously.
For those of you who don't know, I have an old school tube TV in my bedroom with a little stereo and you know, an old system soaked up to it. It's the best possible situation for you to play this because I think some of you, like, because I'm not going to say horrible things about this game, and some of you may be curious. And this game's available on almost every digital download service out there for like $5.
Right.
So some of you may be curious to go out and look, and you'll look at that and say, Hoss, I think you're wrong. And the reason why is because you're playing it on a high-def TV, and rendering that game at a significantly higher resolution shows you the low-resolution nature of those textures, but the advantage of playing it on a 480i tube television is that all of that is lost on you.
You see a crisp image with lots of, with barely any motion blur, and...
It's the exact opposite of what happened when the Xbox 360 came out.
Yeah.
The Xbox 360 came out, even some people who bought the PlayStation 3 and played that standard,
right.
They looked at it and went, these games don't look that better this generation. You people are out of your fucking mind. And then you find out later that they don't. That they have like an old tube TV that's standard definition. I'm like, oh, that's why you can't see the stuff.
You can't see the things that were on it. So.
Yeah. Like, oh, I can't read any of the text in this game. I don't know. It looks fine to me.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's too small and blurry.
Yeah.
Are you on a tube TV?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
So this first level is insane. You go all sort. They pepper every kind of mechanic into it at one point.
This is the whale level.
It's the whale level. It's the beach level.
You maybe played it at a service merchandise.
Yes.
Or a Costco.
No, I have to preface this.
A Walmart.
Nothing looked like this at that time.
No.
It was very much like the first Sonic for the Genesis back in the day. Nothing looked that way.
So fast,
so quick, with crazy things going on behind you and everywhere. It doesn't look like you should be able to control what's going on, basically. And it really does kind of hit you with a bit of amazement. But, it just, you know, that first level is just, it's like Green Hill Zone. It's crisply designed. It's meant to draw you in with the best possible conditions of what's going on. Then you fight, Eggman Robotnik Eggman,
John Eggman,
you know, as you said, as Haas said earlier, you know what a good name is? Robotnik's a good name. You know what isn't a good name?
Eggman.
Eggman is not a good name. So they, They used both. This is the first contextual game where they used both, which is interesting. Because he calls himself Dr. Robotnik, but Sonic calls him Eggman as a sort of insult. So,
and no, I think his company is Robotnik Industries.
But he says, I'm Dr. Robotnik.
Does he say that?
He does. He
says, I was not listening.
You weren't listening anyway. Yeah, he says, I'm Dr. Robotnik, and then Sonic calls him Eggman as a pejorative term, as it were.
Oh, you're co-opted.
Look that word up, kids. Anyway, what kids listen to this piece of shit? Anyway.
Easy, children.
Yeah, right? Don't listen to us. It's interesting culturally in that way because, like, again, nothing looked like this. And it blew people's minds. Upon retrospect, this game is not good. I'm going to go ahead and just say it. Like most Sonic games, upon retrospect, they lack... It gets to a point to where those games lack.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
When this game is hitting on all cylinders and you're in a fast level and things like that are going on,
yeah,
it has moments of greatness.
Right.
I have reservations, but here's the thing, is that they're the same reservations that I've always had. The boss fights have always been one-note jokes with no punchline.
Right, yeah.
They're boring.
Yeah, it's like...
Nothing happens.
Wait for your moment, spin dash, hit him. Yeah. That's it. That's from the beginning of Sonic. From the very beginning.
Sometimes he's going to hit this thing with a hammer, it's going to shoot arrows out, and then you jump on the arrows, and then you hit him.
Yeah.
That's how boss battles in Sonic games have always been. So, if you're somebody who never had a problem with that before, I can understand you being the kind of person who doesn't have a problem with this.
Right, yeah.
Because it's still that.
Yeah.
The one thing that we haven't touched on is the fact that there are so many points in this video game where you are not doing the Sonic thing.
Yes.
There's a key word in the title of this game.
Sonic
Adventure.
Is in the title.
The mindless portions of this game where it's just walk... It's not solving puzzles. It's walk around until you find a thing for you to put an object on it or to find a person to tell you the next mission.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the whole adventure part of this. And there are all these parts where you're fucking Tails and you are just doing the worst platforming.
Yeah.
In these big open boxes that have nothing going... There's no enemies in them. They're not levels.
No.
It's adventuring.
It's adventuring, yeah.
And the adventuring is the problem.
Yeah, the adventure part of this game is essentially just the world hub, and that's it. And you're just doing things to advance in that world hub. That's all.
Well, and it honestly, it took them until Sonic Unleashed for the last generation of consoles, the 360 and PS3, for them to admit something, and they said it publicly. They said, it is incredibly hard and time-consuming and expensive to make a full game in 3D of these Sonic levels.
Right, yeah.
Because they are all incredibly expensive. They're things that you see for a split second that we still have to render. Somebody has to work on
that. Somebody has to work on that, yeah.
So what they do, and it's in that game, that's where Sonic Unleashed, where you were like were-Sonic or whatever, where you became a werewolf version of Sonic...
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why they have these slow adventuring portions. And the one thing I'll give to Sonic Unleashed is that they at least added combat in there. Sonic Adventure 1, there's nothing to do in these wide open stages.
No.
It's, all right, I need to take a train to this next place. Where's the train? Find the train, get on the train, go to the place.
Yeah.
Okay, mini boss battle here that occasionally happens. It rarely happens after
rarely
that.
Rarely happens, yeah.
After that, like, in the beginning, it gives you two boss battles kind of like that.
Yeah.
From there, they're few and far between.
Yeah.
And it just becomes these big, generic, wide-open box environments that, at the time, we were still like, oh, this looks kind of cool. There's a chow garden over here. I can pull out my VMU and raise my chow.
Raise my chow.
It's like a Tamagotchi, but different.
Yeah, but slightly different. Yeah, and then when you get into playing as Tails and Knuckles and Amy and
Big the Cat.
You
was it X-103 or whatever?
E-102 Epsilon something.
Kill myself.
Yeah, Zigzag, Zebra, I don't know.
Amy.
Amy too. You replay these levels over and over again with a different mechanic involved with each character, and some of them are just this tedious nonsense. With Knuckles, you have to collect 3 emeralds, and it's a hot and cold game, and they're randomly placed throughout the game, which is just, okay. You know, and so it's not fun to redo these levels as anyone that's not fucking Sonic. It's just not. The closest one, I think, is Tails, and it's just a time trial of what you just did. You just beat Sonic. That's the only caveat to Tails' adventure.
Well, that was their way of trying to do the Mario 64 thing, except the problem was that in the Mario 64 thing, the level was different.
Yeah.
The objective was different. It wasn't just, well, get to the end again.
Yeah, exactly. You had to do something else specific, and
yeah, I need to knock this chain chomp loose.
Yeah, and plus it was immediate and it was a choice. You could choose to go back into that painting or go somewhere else. In this, it's like you have to just replay these episodes. You have to grind these levels. And it's just, it's like, really? But other than that, it's also a confusing landscape. It's a confusing world hub as we experienced.
Bad camera.
You don't know where to put this stupid key that you've picked up. So you gotta go find where to put the stupid key.
And go through these very narrow tunnels that the camera loves, yeah, by the way.
The camera and the controls where you jitter up against the side of the wall is just, you know, crisp as all hell. It's something that's unique to this game because this is the first foray into 3D, correct, for this game?
Sorry,
Sonic 3. Sonic from the Saturn, I think, was a foray into it. But,
yeah, I mean, there was a working Sonic game that never was officially released as a standalone game, but I believe there was a 3D level included in 3D Blast for the Saturn. And, you know, like, Sonic R was polygonal. But that was a racing game. So this is technically their first blowing it out.
Right. You're in a 3D landscape. It's like Mario 64. Oh my gosh. You know, it's ambitious in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's also a plane level where you're flying around in a plane and you're shooting stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot to this game. There's a lot of content into it. But it suffers from what a lot of those other a lot of games that, well, we had the Sonic stuff, but we ran out of that. So now we have to do other things, and those other things are never that good.
There's a funny thing that always happens with big games that Sega does.
Yeah.
Whenever they want to add variety into their video games,
sure,
it's always like, all right, let's have a Space Harrier level. Go!
It's like, true, yeah.
It happened with Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah.
There was
a
fucking Space Harrier level in that game.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
It's funny how they're just like, all right, well, and, you know, let's make some fucking Altered Beast references.
Why not?
You know, Shenmue, they wanted to do that, so you know what they did? They just fucking put Space Harrier in it!
They just put Space Harrier in the game itself, so...
Outrun, there's a part of Shenmue that's basically Outrun.
Oh, is there?
But let's not talk too much about Shenmue.
Why is that?
We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay, there you go. A little,
and we're actually going to do it this time.
This time it's actually going to be that, so it's amazing. We're not going to psych you out with that
one. I have a question.
Sure.
Not to go too inside baseball here.
Sure.
Should I build us a save that's a few hours in, so you're not just watching the beginning of Shenmue?
Yeah, definitely. Because you know, the beginning.
That's a slow beginning.
That's a slow beginning, where his dad gets murdered and everything. I mean,
that's
a slow beginning. It is. You got to build up to finding them sailors, so.
Did you see 3 men in a black car drive through here on the day that the snow turned to rain? I'm looking for a man named Lon.
You know, if Shenmue 3 doesn't have on-running dialogue like that, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, I'm going to be very mad about that.
Do you know of any sailors near here? I'm looking for Tom at the hot dog truck.
If it doesn't have specifically direct instructional questions to people.
Would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit? How about some Lucky Hit? Would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit?
I'm going
to
be disappointed. So, yeah. Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventure's not great.
It's not great.
You know, I said this several times when we were playing it. I think on a standard definition TV, I feel like that game does hold up in a lot of ways graphically. When that thing is moving at a very high frame rate in a very fast level. Mm-hmm. It, granted, you're not doing very much, but he is running super fast and you're flying all around the place. It's cool. I mean, there's quite a few different designed levels. I like the wind stages. The wind stages, those are pretty good.
The wind stage is interesting, running on wind.
You know, going into the tornado is okay.
Yeah.
There are parts about Sonic Adventure that you can look at that and go, all right, perfect that.
Yeah.
And then they made Sonic Adventure 2 and you went, never mind.
That's right, because you played the demo for Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, yeah. I have the... I have a real smoking burner of an edition of Sonic Adventure. It comes with a demo disc.
Demo disc.
Sonic Adventure 2.
Which includes story elements with Japanese voice acting.
Oh, so yeah.
There you go.
The American version had shitty English dialogue, don't worry.
Yes.
But we were treated to a mwah. Yeah, this fucking great one.
Yeah. So,
just like, if you remember, the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo disc that came with Zone of the Enders, that was all in Japanese as well.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I hope the Japanese is in this game for real, because... no offense, David Hayter, you're not
that
good.
You're not that good of a voice actor.
You know what I can stand to listen to for a while? Japanese dudes talking. You know what I can't stand to listen to for a while?
What's that?
David Hayter
talking. Doing anything.
He's not that good. You know, that man wrote the original X-Men movie, though, and that movie's okay.
Yeah. Did he write the
Yes.
Okay, I did not know he wrote that.
Yes, he writes movies all the time.
Huh.
I think he actually did the script treatment for Watchmen as well.
I knew he did do script treatments and he wrote movies. I did not know he did the X-Men movie.
Yeah, I think he wrote the Watchmen script.
Huh. Well, there you go. Well, there you
David
go.
Hayter.
Yeah.
Multi-sport athlete David Hayter. He's like the Bo Jackson of this era.
He's like the Bo Jackson of our era, goddammit.
Except, like, if Bo Jackson was really shitty at baseball.
Yeah, and couldn't really voice act.
Oh,
really...
speaking of that, Metal Gear comes out next week.
It does. It does. There's some...
I'll have a lot to say about
that. Yeah, yeah. You should have a lot to say about it.
I'll have a lot to say about that. Not on next week's show, because I will have just gotten the game.
There is a...
By our $9.99 episode.
Yeah, you'll have a lot to say
about it. I should have a lot to say.
Wasn't there some controversy over the PvP or the multiplayer being behind a paywall or something?
No, it's not out until later.
Okay.
It just wasn't done.
Okay, just wasn't
done. They have said there's going to be microtransactions in it, but that's every video game now.
Okay, yeah. I assumed like it was going to be like, oh, like...
That's not ready.
I think some company assumed like, oh, you're gonna make that pay stuff, huh? Yeah, but
and they may, but I'm never gonna play the online. So Metal Gear fucking online for Metal Gear Solid 4 was atrocious. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid Online that was on fucking Metal Gear Solid 3, atrocious.
You know it has great online play is Sonic Adventure.
Yes.
Does it?
No.
I guess does the Chao Garden count as online play? I don't think it does. It's just
no.
It's just a Tamagotchi.
What if it did though?
If it did, if you had like an online Tamagotchi, it'd be okay.
I wish there was still a way easily for you to be able to play the original ass Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, you think?
That game was great!
Yeah, the original one. Not
That game was great!
Not 2.
I haven't played 2 at all. It's not out in America.
Right.
I mean, you have to play the Japanese version. Granted, there's all kinds of plugins that you can put in there to make it fucking playable, but
okay, yeah.
I've kind of thought about doing that. Right. Kind of go in the fucking dark arts route and giving that a go, because like apparently you still get a mag and you get to feed your mag and it'll turn into like a fucking master system or something if you do it right. And that's cool.
I don't know what that means.
It's a mag. It's this thing that follows you and you feed it.
Yeah, it's your little familiar guy.
I used to. I had a watch that you could set up multiple fucking alerts for, and I would have it go off every, I think it was like 30 minutes or whatever, and so that I would remember to turn on my Dreamcast, feed my mag, and log back out.
Right. Okay. All right. Tangent aside.
Sorry.
Sonic Adventure 2 demo. You start off snowboarding, streetboarding.
Yeah, you are
skateboarding.
Something.
I don't know.
That was clearly a snowboard because it was, you know, it was when extreme sports were still fucking ripping, bro.
It's true.
Hey, it's like that uncle that's just a little bit too old to go hang out with your college friends, but he wants to show you that he can beer bong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Sonic,
and it's just that's what Sonic is. And it's dangerous, and we're not gonna lie.
It's the guy that gets too drunk at fucking, like, family reunions, and somebody, like, tries to tell him, like, maybe you should slow down, and be like, Helen, we're getting out of here, Helen!
No way, kids. Gotta go fast. Gotta drink fast.
Nobody tells me what to do. Helen, we're leaving.
We're leaving here.
Get the potato salad.
Tails, get the plane.
Fucking just wasted piling a plane home. It's a fucking single-engine Cessna just fucking blown out.
Sonic, I think I should drive.
Shut up, Tails! Get in the back! Your name's Tails, you have two fucking tails, asshole!
Yeah,
there's a truck at the end.
that demo's weird. Like, it was cool. Like, I remember at the time, like, that's probably one of the best-looking... Dreamcast games. I always thought, like, the NFL 2K, the NBA 2K... Really, Sega was the only company making hot bangers for that thing.
Right.
Graphically, yeah. But they had that Naomi and Naomi 2 board experience, so right. All of the technology that was in those arcade units, like your Daytona USAs and all that other stuff, is a lot of the fundamental technology that went into making the Dreamcast, and a lot of that engine technology, so... The thing that would have really shocked the world and I think been very complicated for people to understand is, why haven't Dreamcast games looked better? Because they were already able to pull all the power out of that thing at day one. Because they had already been working with that hardware for like 5 years.
Right, yeah. So
Trust me, if there was an ounce of juice in that thing, they were using it.
Yeah, yeah. They had already maxed the levels at starting.
Shenmue's probably the best looking game on the system, and Shenmue 2 looks fucking identical.
It looks just like it, yeah.
And, it's... It would have been interesting to see that system age more.
Right.
Yeah. Just because, like, they had already pulled the stuff out of it. And the cool thing that you could have saw, after somebody pulls all the power out of something, after you're not focusing so much of your effort on harnessing power,
yeah,
you just focus on, let's make a cool fucking game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be hard.
Yeah.
Come up with a cool idea.
Yeah.
And that was something that I felt like Sega did at this time better than almost anybody. Because, like... The ideas that Sonic Adventure has, they're all over the place, but they were trying.
Yeah, they were trying. It was ambitious.
There is a shrugged shoulders that comes along with Sonic nowadays.
Yeah.
Half efforts, half steps.
Right, yeah.
They bought into Sonic Adventure.
Right.
Sonic Adventure 2 as well.
Yeah.
They wanted to make something fucking dope.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make something different. They wanted to fundamentally change the way that you thought about Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's true.
Sadly, this is a miss, and this is the first in a long series.
I think that's the title of this, is They Were Trying. I think that's pretty okay.
Or we just call it the first in a long series.
Yeah, right. It's commendable in its way. It really is. I think they were going for something big, and they were going for something different, new. They wanted to cram a whole lot of different experiences into one of those first games.
And they wanted to shove tech down your fucking throat.
Yeah, they wanted you really to understand, like, we did a lot with this.
This game and this system, honestly, set out so early for the next generation. I mean, it was a year before the PlayStation 2. It was 2 years before the GameCube and Xbox.
Right.
It was early.
Yeah.
And they wanted to come out like a fucking NWA record and say, okay, all these Fresh Prince tapes,
right.
Put them away. You're not listening to this anymore. There's new shit out there, and it's from the fucking streets.
And it's from the streets, yo.
And not of Bel Air.
And what about West Philadelphia?
Born and raised. But I don't think that's the first time we've quoted that on this podcast.
No, it's definitely not the first time we've quoted
that. Go back and find us the timestamp from where they did that before. But they succeed on a lot of levels in this game. I feel like as a video game experience, this is the definition. If you go back to that day, this is the definition of a 7.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for that time, yeah. I think so, too. It's... of its time, I think this game holds up very well in certain ways. And in other ways, it holds up not at all. It just has really bad gaming conventions on top of it because they were trying to do a whole lot. And it just kind of feels like a bit of a mess. And again, it fails in the same way that other Sonic games fail afterwards. After you get over that initial burst of speed and tech and awesomeness, that Green Hill Zone greatness, it just divulges into bad platforming with a character that does not control well with tight platforming. And it's kind of a shame that all Sonic games kind of fall into that realm. It sucks. I don't want to say that, like, Sonic games are just bad completely in every way, because I don't think that they are, but it's just like they hit this peak area, and then there's just this downslide.
Ooh.
And they hit that peak quickly, you know, to get that initial attention, that boom, that pop factor, and then it just slides all the way down. And then there's something like you said, while we were playing, the casino levels are typically like, oh, there's another one where it's like, hey, this is fun, we do pinball, that's cool, and then it just spikes down again, and like you said, the boss battles are all the freaking same, so...
Do you want to, I pulled up the GameSpot review for this game.
Did you pull up the GameSpot review for this? Go ahead and read that GameSpot review. How,
Sonic Adventure review. With the, this is just the strap at the top here.
Sure, sure.
With the chow breeding simulation and the minigame, Sonic offers much more beyond completion of its story.
Hmm, interesting.
Oh, here's, this opening line here. Every once in a while, a game comes along that redefines a genre and sends the gaming scene in a new direction for years to come.
Well,
I'll say this. Sonic Adventure simultaneously is and is not one of these games.
Mm.
It keeps the linearity and structure of a 2D game and brings, for the first time, real speed to a 3D platformer. Yes. Oh, I hate this line. Yes, dash. Sonic is back in classic form after an all too long hiatus.
Are we just going to read other people's
reviews? Oh, God.
Are we going to do that on this podcast now? And just like... Are we just gonna... Oh, man. Are we really gonna just critique other people's critiques of other games?
I don't want to say that as like a fucking... as a negative statement towards GameSpot. At this time, sure. Up until 2007, when Jeff Gershman was unceremoniously let go from there and all that whole thing happened, a giant bomb formed and everything.
Right.
I only went to GameSpot.
Right.
Fuck IGN is what I always said. Not interested in what they... I didn't want to go to the babe section.
I still say that.
Oh, fuck, man. All that shit that they did.
Yeah.
That fucking like, we got the babe section. Hey. Be a premium member to see all these bikini shots. Like, fuck all that.
Yeah.
But I was a GameSpot only kind of guy. I dug the way they did it. They were also originally... Their PC stuff, their console stuff was different, and the console stuff was part of Video GameSpot.
Right.
They were some of the first videos I ever saw on the internet was GameSpot.
It was GameSpot.
They were cutting edge for that shit at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking like 96, they're putting up video.
Pre-YouTube. Way pre-YouTube.
Like 7 years pre-YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wrote a lot of reviews in my time.
Sure.
I read hundreds, maybe thousands of reviews. I'm the kind of guy that now, like, I actually sort of respect the way that places like Kotaku do it, where they don't throw a number on something.
Right.
It's just, we'll say yes or no, and then read the text to find out why.
Right.
I never got into that fucking penis measuring contest of, well, this is a 9.2 and this is a 9.1, so this one's better. Right. No. Yeah. What? Like,
yeah, the, when it gets into
those are two different people that reviewed those games.
And when it gets into a point system of like 9.2 or 9.1, what is the fucking difference of those two things? Nothing.
Or a 9 and an 8. Like, I can view like a measurable difference between like a 7 or a 6 and a 9.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah.
Like an 8 and a 9, those both sound like great games that you should probably check out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. In writing reviews, there are trite expressions that were always used.
Yeah, yeah.
Dragon Ball Z comes out. Fans of the genre.
Fans of the genre.
Fans of the subject material.
Right, yeah.
Fans rejoice.
Fans rejoice.
In the end, the sum of its parts.
It's like
derivative experience.
I feel like where it's like a soundboard of a video game article right now. We just take all this and put it in there. Defines the genre.
Or the one I always loved after 2001.
Yeah.
Halo Killer.
They did try to assign that to just about everything.
I remember when, like, Tribes Vengeance for the PS2, they were like, Halo Killer. I was like, you realize that game doesn't even have a story, right? It's just a multiplayer. You know what? Never mind.
Whatever. It's fine.
No, all of this is fine.
Enough, you Halo fanboy. Move along.
What? It just didn't have a campaign. Whatever. People can call me a fanboy for whatever they want to all day long. I had somebody recently...
Nothing wrong being a fan of a genre or a game or a franchise. I had somebody
recently accused me of being a Nintendo fanboy, and I was like, what? He's like, all you've talked about recently is 3DS games. I'm like, well, I just recently bought a 3DS and all I've been playing is 3DS games.
You sold your Wii U. Like, how are you a Nintendo fanboy?
I'm a Nintendo 3DS fanboy.
Okay, okay, yeah, you're a 3DS fan.
Because I've played all of 5 games on it recently.
Well, of course, you know.
You know what I think we should do?
What's
that? We talked about this a lot a while ago.
What's that?
You and I should, because I have that GBA copy in my DS Lite.
Right.
You should take Metroid Fusion home.
Okay.
We should both play through that and then do a podcast on it.
Okay, let's
play
do that.
Through it.
I would love to play through it. I would love to play through Metroid Fusion. But, I haven't played it.
We're talking about Dreamcast.
We're talking about those things, yeah. Yeah, so...
But yeah, like, so that's why, like, whenever I read a review, I can chuckle.
Right,
because
right.
there was a certain amount, like... The problem with games writing back in the 90s, and even through, like, the mid-2000s, and a lot of websites still try to do this, where we're going to be objective.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to fucking sneer quote the word objective. No, every review is a subjective experience.
Yes.
Something that I think looks good, like, there are a lot of people who think gray and brown games look fucking great because they look closer to real.
Right.
Because you know what real life is? Fucking gray and brown. You live in New York City? Gray and brown.
Gray and brown everywhere. Garbage all over the town.
Covered in litter.
And just trash everywhere.
But, yeah, so that's why I kind of, I chuckle, is that, like, there's no objectivity in a video game review.
It's true.
And that's why, like, whenever I say something is bad, I qualify that statement, and I also explain my personal views on it, and that's how video games work, that's how movies work, that's how music works, because, you know, one of the best albums ever recorded, according to me,
yeah, yeah,
is probably, like, Slayer, Rain, and Blood.
Okay. Yeah.
You can listen to that and think, this sounds like garbage.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And you're not wrong.
Yeah, it depends on your taste, you're right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because, yeah, it's a subjective experience.
And purely based on the mechanics, you could say, like, well, Gears of War is the perfect experience because I want a tight cover-based corridor shooter because that's what interests me.
Right.
And somebody else who's into Final Fantasy, you can look at that and go... And they did!
And then, yeah, all the time.
That's how video games work, you guys!
No, I agree. No, this is actually a great...
There's a reason why we're not all playing Madden this week, because other people like different games.
Although
I'm probably going to play Madden this week.
A little bit of a... this is getting meta, I know. A little bit of self-introspection. Do you remember yourself using any of those conventions?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because so I was emulating what I read.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you would always do that.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody who's writing something and is reading something in respect to what you're writing... You're going to emulate.
I've written video game reviews that start with the phrase in conclusion. You know what I want to do is...
That's the most amazing thing ever. I would love
I want to go find some of my terrible reviews and let's post them on the site.
Dude, let's do that. Let's fucking do that.
A lot of my stuff is... lost to time because the websites went out of business and stuff, like the bloodbath that happened in the wake of the the dot-com crash and everything.
Slitting of internet throats.
Well, and then the death of magazines, because I haven't been published a ton of times, but I have been in a couple of magazines.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'll go find some choice stuff.
Yeah, let's post those up. I would love to see
that. And I want people to look at that and go, see, and even you too can get published somewhere.
Yeah. I agree. No, I love it. I love that. That's fantastic. We should definitely do that.
I'm a much better writer now, although probably not evidenced by what I write for the site. But I write all that usually, like, I'm like, all right, I got 15 minutes for my next meeting. Click, 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 click.
You're a busy guy. You're a busy guy. But yeah, that Sonic Adventure, I guess.
Yeah, that's the first look of three of our looks at the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go ahead and just say it since we've already decided on this.
Yeah.
Next week's podcast is going to be a tighter experience.
Yes.
Because we are going to be talking about Shenmue, and I have a million things to say about Shenmue.
Yeah, that one will probably be longer and much more controlled to what that is. There's just not a lot to talk about.
Have I told you what I thought about doing?
No. What have you thought about doing?
I've kind of thought about going rogue for a live stream and just playing Shenmue start to finish.
Going rogue? Just going rogue and doing that?
Yeah, I'm going to Sarah Palin it.
Yeah,
Remember when they used to say she was going rogue?
She's just going rogue. They always said that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go rogue and fucking just play Shenmue for 24 goddamn hours.
Okay, I'm going to go rogue and shoot a deer from a helicopter.
What does that even mean?
That's what she did. She, like, shot a deer from a helicopter and, you know, and she, I don't know.
She did that?
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
I know, right? Pretty great. She, like, went on an Alaskan tour and, like, you know, on the tour you can shoot a deer.
That's badass.
I know. I'd love to do
that.
She
eat the deer?
I think they ate it, yeah. I think she's one of those, like, use all that you hunt kind of deals. So, yeah. One of those Ted Nugent-y type.
She's like Vin Diesel from fucking Chronicles of Riddick. You keep what you kill.
Keep what you kill. Yeah, that's right. She's like Riddick. When I think of Sarah Palin, I think Riddick.
The Venn diagram of Sarah Palin and Riddick. One big circle.
One big circle, that is. Oh, boy.
No, there's one bit that lies out on the edge. Can see in the dark and has a family. That's it. That's the two bits that stick out on the edge.
Stay in the light. One rule.
Keep moving! Man, scene in fucking Chronicles of Riddick, where they're running on that fucking planet as the sun's coming up. Holy shit.
You mean in Pitch Black?
No, Chronicles of Riddick.
Which one? What? Oh, Chronicles. I'm sorry, that's the new... Is that the new
one? No. The one from, like, 2005.
Oh, God. What? That movie?
2004?
Was 2004. Was there a scene where a sun's coming up in that movie?
Yeah, where they're breaking out of the jail and they have to run.
Oh, the jail. That's right. The jail is, like, the one really good
scene. The sun's coming up and it's setting the planet on fire?
Yeah.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah, there's, like, that one good scene in that movie.
You know what? Go watch Chronicles of Riddick. Not a very great movie, but I like it.
It's not a good movie. But
Pitch Black, better movie.
Better movie, yes. It is a better movie.
Keith David, annoying in both films. Yeah. And what's sad is that I like Keith David.
Is he annoying in both films?
Yes.
I mean, he's the religious guy, right?
Keith David's finest work that isn't They Live is not the Halo games.
Interesting, yeah.
It's that West Side Connection album where he just talks, like, in the interludes on that album.
Right. Yeah,
where he's like, hey, listen here, motherfuckers. You're like, yeah, it's Keith David, motherfucker!
I thought you were going to say the Saints Row games would probably be in there.
No, this is better! That West Side Connection album, go listen to some West Side Connection. Yeah. I've listened to a lot of West Coast rap lately.
Okay, yeah.
In the wake of me seeing Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 for that movie, by the way, motherfuckers!
10 out of 10 for Straight Outta
Compton. 10
out of 10!
I give that movie, like, 5 gold stars and an eagle or something, like, I don't know.
One of the easiest titles I think they ever could have came up with, you know. It's like,
I
wonder who was in that marketing thing. They were trying to pitch out, like, ridiculous titles, and some guy's just like, fucking call it Straight Outta Compton, you idiots. It's not even, like, a contest here.
Well, I don't really think there was a panel meeting for that at a certain point. It's just fucking Dr. Dre sitting in the room saying, I have more money than all of you. And they're just like, all right, Straight Outta Compton, we got it.
That's true. He was involved, so there probably wasn't a panel meeting. I was going to say, there's probably a panel meeting
him
for everything
Cube,
in Hollywood.
Him and Cube wrote it.
Yeah, and they wrote it, yeah. So, yeah, it's probably...
You heard his new album yet?
I've not.
Compton? Really good.
I have not. I did watch...
There's a Red Ring of Death joke on that album.
Oh, interesting. That's funny.
Which is really funny to hear an Xbox Red Ring of Death joke.
Xbox Red Ring of Death version. I started watching, have not finished it, Straight Out of L.A., the sports documentary
about
the L.A. Raiders and their whole thing with the NWA. So, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. I watched that recently as well. I had not seen it. I tried to avoid, like, everything based on the Raiders.
Yeah.
Because I hate Al Davis.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Yeah, there's no reason you should like Al Davis.
He's a bad guy.
And his gross teeth.
Weird skin.
Weird skin and gross
teeth.
I don't
want to speak ill of the dead here, but that guy looked weird.
He looked...
Like the Crypt Keeper.
He looked rough.
He looked like the Crypt Keeper.
He's a rough dude. He was a rough-looking fella in his later years. But, yeah. You know...
You got anything else?
No, I got nothing else. But yeah, we're going to be doing Shenmue next week.
And then we're going to close on 9-9 with fucking Crazy Taxi.
With Crazy Motherfucking Taxi with some Offspring.
My favorite game of all time.
And we're going to end it on that bombshell right there.